I've been up here, and it's been awesome just working with Dunks throughout this entire series. And while he's up in Joburg, we've got to pray for him as well. You know, he did weddings yesterday, he's doing another one today, and he will travel back tomorrow. So please keep them in your prayers on their way back from Joburg. We definitely look forward to seeing him here soon. Now, we're in week 5 of our Joseph series, and that was a quick recap. But there were a couple of highlights out of Duncan's sermons that I would like to just remind you about. In week 1, Dunk shared with us that God showed incredible kindness to Joseph. Instead of allowing him to die deep in a well, God takes him out of that well and sends him on an incredible journey. In week 2, we discover that Joseph is alive and well, but he's sold off to a bunch of slave traders in Egypt. However, he excels in that and glorifies God completely to the point where he gets promoted. And then he thinks life goes pretty well, and as we heard, he unfortunately gets thrown into jail after, you know, not doing anything wrong, unjustly accused and persecuted. But even in jail, Joseph honors God and excels and once again gets promoted out of jail, and now life is good. Through all this, what was made clear to us last week is that in any situation, we should entrust our lives into God's hand, because He will just rightly, and He'll bring all things to His glory. He will work His story out through yours. He'll use the good and the evil for His glory. And so today, we're going to unpack Joseph's glory days. He's now arrived, and he thinks he has. He's gone through this profound journey of growth. If you pick up the story again, week in, week out, it's just amazing to see how much he has grown as an individual. From this arrogant young man who thinks the whole world's going to worship him, life knocks that out of him quite quickly, and he realizes, maybe not so much. Humbled, and even in that humility, he serves the Lord with honor and integrity. And so now he arrives. Chapter 41 in Genesis. He arrives, he's put in charge of all of Egypt as the governor, and he thinks this is it. Surely this is the good ending we've all been waiting for. The fairy tale ending. But as Duncan said last week, we're not a prosperity gospel church. We're not going to end the story there, because that's not where it ends. Joseph thinks he's arrived. He's at the pinnacle of his career. And then God says, I'm not finished with you yet. There's something in Joseph's life that he still needs to deal with. It's kind of lingering in the background. But friends, from a human perspective, we can't blame Joseph for thinking, I've arrived. I've worked really hard for this. I've gone through trials and temptations and immense suffering. I've been sold off. And now, just look at me. I run a country. I run a country. Surely, you know, everything should be fine. Not quite. God makes this very clear to Joseph. I'm not finished with you yet. And I don't think that this thinking of Joseph is unique to him alone. I think for many of us, we can relate to him, because there's a particular part in your life and in my life where we come to think, just like he did, man, I've worked for this, or I've journeyed through this. I have been through pain and suffering, and in this part of my life, I'm okay. And that thinking that we're arrived might not be the arrogance in your face, you know? It could just be that, sure, okay, we can do this now. We've come to that place where we think that everything is going to be okay. But God reminds Joseph, and he reminds us, that he's always at work in our lives. And we're going to unpack that today in Genesis 42. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles or on your apps, it'll be fantastic. And I once again want to remind you just to leave your Bible open, because I often refer back to the text, and we're only going to read the first 6 verses. But later on, I'm going to refer to other verses. You might want to pick that up in your Bible or quickly scroll there on your app. So Genesis 42 starts off like this. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, why do you just keep looking at each other? He continued, I've heard that there's grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us, so that we may live and not die. Then 10 of Joseph's brothers went to buy grain from Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others, because he was afraid that harm might come to him. So Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain, for there was famine in the land of Canaan also. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the person who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. Just as Joe thinks he's got it, life's good, it's all going to be okay, I'm in control of this country, this whole country's going to survive, God says no, there's something we still need to deal with. And his brothers come walking through that door. Notice Joseph's response. How many of us would allow these oaks into the front door? Most people would shout, shut the front door. But not Joseph. Not Joseph. He recognizes them and he opens the front door. They come inside. And yes, the first response is they bow down and worship him because he's the governor of Egypt. They don't recognize him, but he clearly recognizes them. And so if we just pause here for a moment and place ourselves in Joseph's shoes in a modern day context where you grew up in a really tough household, things were really tough at home, you weren't ever sure where your meal was going to come from. But you went to school faithfully, you got great marks, you maybe got that bursary or that loan, you get to varsity and you're working hard, you finish top of your class, you're on top of the world. You get that job, but you're back at the bottom. You work your way up in that company, and things are going really well. And all of a sudden, a recession hits, and it doesn't matter how hard you've worked, you lose the job. You're back down in the dumps again. But then an opportunity comes, and you grab it with both hands, and just like Joseph, you excel in it and do extremely well. The family is healthy, you got that house and that car, and things go really well. But then before you know it, the carpet gets ripped underneath your feet, so much so that even your family turns their back on you. You're all alone, down in the dumps again. You feel like you're closed in a jail cell with little hope, even crying out for the Lord for help. But you excel in prison. You show the South African prisons how it's supposed to be done. No more crime in prison or out. You do well. And somebody notices it, and God uses that person, gets you out of jail, and you land that job you've always wanted. And you're doing well. Everything seems okay. Your family's back. Everything's okay. And then while you're sipping away at your corner office, enjoying the sea view, you receive that WhatsApp or that knock on your office door from your PA saying, That person that hurt you deeply is right at the door or would like to meet. The person that sold you out, fired you, stabbed you in the back, victimized you, and did everything in that power to make sure that you are dead to this world, that you're nothing, is at the front door. What do you do? I think most of us would say, shut the front door. Keep them out. I don't want to talk to them. I never want to see them again in my life. But that's not what Joseph does. He opens that front door. How many of us would agree that that's massive? Instead of giving his brothers exactly what they deserve, he opens that front door. And he comforts his distressed brothers. They don't even know who he is. But he comforts them. And he assures them that even though in the back of his mind, he remembers all the evil, he assures them that God is going to use all of that for His glory and His good. And at face value, it seems so easy. They come into the front door. How's it? How you doing? Oh, you need some chow? Okay, we'll send you on your way. It looks so easy, but when we unpack the text in verse 24, you firstly discover that it's not that easy for Joseph. He is wrestling with this deeply. And who would blame him? The guys that threw him into a pit to die are standing right in front of him. And he's got all the power in the world to go, off with your head, justice is served. He's got all the power in the world to shove them into prison for life, or even worse, sell them off to some other oak. Maybe some cannibalites somewhere else that are hungry. Could easily do that. He's got that power. But what does he do with his power? Come inside. Come inside. Let's talk. And internally, he is wrestling. And you can see it in verse 24. He turns away from them and he began to weep. But then he came back. He spoke to them again. And he had Simeon taken from them and bound before their eyes. Let's not miss this wrestling of Joseph's heart before he gets to the good part. He is seriously wrestling with this. I'm sure from his human perspective, he's like, I want to clap these oaks and sort them out and show them a little, give them a bit of their own medicine. But he doesn't do that. He goes, okay, maybe to protect them from him, let's just jail them for 3 days. Because remember in verse 7, he pretended to be a stranger. They have no idea who he is. He's like, okay, I'm just going to jail you for 3 days. And I think there's some wisdom in this, friends. There's a teaching on reconciliation, and that reconciliation takes time. I think most of us would agree, it's not just this, walk in, how's it? Okay, we're all good. Can we move on? I think that's very unhealthy reconciliation. When something as serious and hurtful as this happens in your life and you just brush it off. We never deal with that wound. We never clean it out and just go, well, can we just talk about the pus that's been simmering in this wound for many years? Can we just talk about this pain and this betrayal? You guys left me in the dungeon, in a pit to die. And then you came back and gave me false hope, pulled me out, and then sold me off. Can we talk about this? And then, not even worse, you go tell Dad that I'm dead? And you fake my death? Come on, Oaks, let's talk about this. So I think for 3 days, he just puts them in jail because he needs to sort some stuff out in his heart so that he doesn't respond with the natural human response, eye for an eye, clap for a clap. He takes his time. He allows God to work a little in that heart and go, okay, notice this. In verse 18, on the third day, Joseph said to them, do this and you will live, for I fear God. So for 3 days, he wrestles with all the pain and the hurt, and what am I going to do with these oaks? Lord, help me. And that fear in Hebrew is not, I am scared of God. It is, I stand in awe of God. The Hebrew word is yare, which means his relationship with God is the most important thing in his life. So much so that he goes, okay, guys, I'm going to jail you for 3 days because I need God's help here. I need to figure out what I'm going to do because naturally I want to clap you, but God is saying, bless those who curse you. Treat them well. And he's wrestling with this. And he says to them, for I fear God. I stand in awe of God and what he wants me to do. So guess what, Oaks? One of you are going to stay behind. Because yesterday, or 3 days ago, you told me about my younger brother. That's my blood brother that I didn't know existed. You left him behind in Canaan. I just want to see if this oak's still alive. So Simeon, you're going to park off here, buddy. Bit of ransom, you know, so maybe it was a bit of compromise between him and God in the 3 days conversation. God's like, okay, you can hold on to Simeon. Because God knows what's going on in the story. but he wants to obviously put Joseph's heart at rest just a little. So the brothers go back, and they don't just go back. Notice in the story what Joseph does for them. He doesn't whip them and send them back. He gives them what they need, and far more. He gives the money back that they were supposed to pay for the food. And obviously, they don't discover this until they get home or on the way. But who would do that in a modern-day context? When you've been betrayed, victimized, hurt, persecuted, and even jailed in South Africa unjustly, who would go to the guy who got you into jail and say, well, let's just talk about all this, and you know what? You might be in need of something, so how about here's a car? And not just a car, but, you know, money for the car that you were supposed to pay for. Who would do that in a human mindset? None of us. Hey, we would just go, no, come here. Sort you out, bro. Hey, look at what happened to me in prison. I just want to give you a bit of taste of... Let's just leave that there. Hey? Who would do that? And I think that's why he wrestled for such a long time. 3 days is a long time in prison, and 3 days is a long time to wrestle with God. And I think in our modern day context, if you phone your boss and say, hey, I just need 3 days off. I've got some family stuff that we've got to deal with, and I've just locked my brother in the room for 3 days. You know, just to make sure that there's a strong door between us so that we can just sort out with some of the stuff that's happening in our hearts. Might be a good idea in some instances to just create a bit of space and allow God to work in both parties' hearts. Because notice the brothers don't walk into the room and go, hey, get some money, can we get some chow, please? We're hungry. They come in and they know that they're in trouble because they're Israelites. They're coming into Egypt. Any given time, the Egyptians can go, well, cheers. What are you doing here? Joseph doesn't. Wrestles with all this stuff over 3 days. And because his relationship with God is the most important relationship in his life, he chooses to honor God instead of following his own heart. Honors God. He forgives his brothers, sends them back home with food and the money. And that is amazing. Amazing. And the challenge for us here today is, are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to keep that front door open? What's amazing about Joseph is, as we heard in the story, he paints a picture of Jesus quite often in his life. And I think this is one of the biggest ones he paints. Joseph gives to his brothers what they don't deserve. They deserved a clap. They deserved to go in prison. They deserved to be sold off as well. Joseph doesn't do that. He reveals something about God's grace to his brothers, just like Jesus did. Where in Jesus' day, he was betrayed by Judas. What does he do? Father, forgive them. Even Judas, for he doesn't know what he's doing. Forgives them. And then he gives all of us what we don't deserve. All of us have sinned like Joseph's brothers. All of us have betrayed God and our family and people in our lives just like he did and their brothers did. Just go and read through the story and pull it into a modern day context where you and I have done things similar. Kind of left somebody off to die. That's fine. Good. Deal with your own stuff. Sold off people. Like how? How do we do that in a modern day context? It's not hard. It's not hard betraying friends in a modern day context. It's not hard to betray family. It's not hard. It's very easy. Unfriend on Facebook. Done. Okay? Block the number on WhatsApp. Shut the front door. It's very easy in a modern day context. And Jesus could have done the same while hanging on that cross, suffering for us. He could have gone, you know what, God, I'm done. I'm done reconciling all of these oaks with you. Why? Why do I need to? These oaks have mocked me. They've whipped me. They've poured sour wine or vinegar onto my face and it runs into my wounds. Like, I'm hurting here. Why? God says, give them what they don't deserve. Give them grace. Give them salvation. Give them eternal life. He goes, yes, Lord. Yes. So Joseph, just like Jesus, offers grace to his brothers that they don't deserve. He saves the entire family. They don't deserve it. They should have died in Canaan and died because of the consequences of their actions. They should have. Just like you and I. We should die for our sins. But God goes, no. Here's grace. Here's salvation. Here's eternal life. You don't deserve it, but it's yours. Given freely. Take and receive. So the challenge today for us is there someone in our life that we need to open that front door to? Say, hey, come over for a cup of coffee. Or when that message comes through, how about we first unblock the number so that the message can come through? And then we respond, yeah, let's chat. And you might need to be like Joseph, like, come over for a cup of coffee. Because that first human contact with that person again, it will bring up all of the pain, all of the suffering, all of the hurt. It'll bring out the pus again, just like that. And it's in those moments, friends, where we've got to lean more on God and just go, hello, how's it? Would you mind a quick cup of tea? And then how about you come back for Sunday lunch? Because I just need 3 days to just, oh, well, I didn't know that emotion was still there. I just need to go and deal with that emotion with the Lord and ask Him to help me so that when I feed you Sunday lunch, it is the best I can offer and not the takeaways from Monday. To who do we need to open the front door? Who do we need to invite over for lunch, for a cup of coffee? But maybe for you, it's not a who, but it's a what. There's a part of your life that you've locked stock and barrel into a room and you want nobody to ever deal with that again or go into that part of your life again. Maybe this morning you need to unlock that door. Allow God into that space. Help heal those wounds and the heartache or whatever you've locked up in that room. Bring it to the feet of Jesus. Come lay down the suffering and the pain and the hurt at His feet today. Allow Him to sort it out. Just like He did in Joseph's life. God did amazing work in this man's life. I think sometimes we underestimate how much pain and hurt he went through. And that he had to lock away that hurt and pain in a little box, keep it stored away, and then serve the oaks in jail and serve the Egyptians. And clearly he did it extremely well. He was well liked by his colleagues and the country that he was leading. And I think he did that because he could lock it away. But then God's like, I'm not finished. We're going to unpack that. We're going to deal with that. Because how are you going to lead your household, your business, this country with this little box still locked away? God says, we're going to bring it out into the light. You're going to sort it out. And next week, Duncan's going to reveal to us how we're going to do that. Deal with some of that hurt and pain and suffering so that you and I, whether you're starting off at school or varsity, starting off that job, or whether you've arrived in the pinnacle of your career or you've retired from it, regardless of where you're at in your life, God still needs you to do stuff for Him. And He can use you and wants to use you to do great things like He did in Joseph's life. But friends, maybe there's a weight holding you back. And God wants to deal with that. He wants to set you free so that you can go and lead with nothing nibbling at your heart, nothing reminding you of a broken relationship that you've got to sort out. Oh, friends, let us open ourselves up to God's work just like Joseph did. Let us allow God to do some amazing stuff in our lives. And so maybe today there's that locked away part of your life that you've got to unpack. Maybe today there's that friend or ex-friend that you've got to refriend on Facebook and connect, open that front door, and allow God to do the same miracle in your life that He did in Joseph's. And remember this, that God's never finished with us until we see Him face to face. Let's pray together. I do thank You for Your word and for this life of Joseph that's recorded for us in it. Thank You so much for all the life lessons that we've learned in the last couple of weeks already. But this morning, Lord, we want to specifically pray for those who are hurting deeply, who have friends or family members that have betrayed them and hurt them. Oh Lord, we ask that You would guide us. Guide us right now to that place where we offer our lives to You again. Help us with those broken relationships, Lord. And You know, Lord, that if we're struggling with that, there might be that place in our lives where we've got to surrender to You. So that we can make that phone call. We can send that message. And so today we just want to surrender our lives to You again. Create in us once again clean hearts. Create in us works of art that will glorify Your name in every aspect of our lives, just like Joseph did. So that we are able to give other people the grace that we have so freely received. Lord, help us to do this by the power of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.